you are going to the Near Post.
Get there first.
Near Post, get there first. The Near Post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The Near Post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The Near Post, get there first.
Ah, you're back on the Near Post Local, where too much football is barely enough. Saying goodbye to the people from the national show, waving, saying goodbye, fearless prediction. And a little bit of news to begin with. Men's Premier League. Men's Premier League. Peter Funnell here. I've just been instructed to give you my name. Now you know who I am. Men's Premier League, look, outstanding result in the Men's Premier League. Canberra Olympic 2, Canberra FC 2. Canberra FC appears to have a bogey team. And Belconnen United 5, Wone Valley 0. And Manchester United, Tuggeranong United, oh my goodness, 4, O'Connor Knights 1. That leaves the table delicately poised, as they like to say. You couldn't have scripted this one better. Canberra FC and Belconnen United within a win of each other. Money's on Canberra FC, I think. Goal difference might see it out there. But this weekend game could tell that another way. Canberra Olympic secured their spot, and Tuggeranong United and Canberra City fight it out on equal 19 points, fight it out for the fourth place in the finals. Great result for the end of the season. It obviously follows there's some games to watch. This Sunday, Canberra City and ANU, that's going to be a tough one. And Canberra United, I beg your pardon, Tuggeranong United, I keep getting them wrong tonight, Tuggeranong United, well, they've got to play Canberra Olympic. That's going to be a tough one. If you want to see a match that might give you a real taste of the final, Canberra FC and Belconnen United. The whole thing just couldn't be better scripted. Women's Premier League, only one game to report. Woden Valley lost their first game of the season to Bellwest Foxes 2-1. It had to happen, I guess. No excuses. Bellwest Foxes did a good job. Again, table sees Woden Valley, Bellwest Foxes clear. Belconnen United secured the third spot, and Western Creek and Canberra FC will fight it out for fourth. That brings us to an odd assortment of news. Before we go on to our interview, the High Performance Program saga. Will it be resolved tonight? Will we know what's going to happen? Will we know what will be in the substance of it? Will it have fundamentally changed? Gee, I hope they put the content back up on the website. But I guess we'll be told when someone thinks we need to know. Canberra United. We're doing a big interview with Coach Juna for next week. Saw a trial game. They played through the week. They look sharp and they're still trialling players. The interview. Well, the interview is with a fellow called Warren Greave. You probably don't know him. Had you been at the under-13 boys' nationals, you would have seen the team he coached, the Western Australian team. He's the High Performance Officer for WA. Listen carefully. I think this is a really good, really interesting interview. Capital Football, the proposed Capital Football High Performance Program, shares a lot of substantial material and views with the way things are done in Western Australia. Makes you think, doesn't it? Well, we'll switch to an interview now. We're talking to Warren Greave, the High Performance Officer for Football West. Now, for the listener out there, that's the equivalent of Capital Football here in the ACT for football in Western Australia. It's a large state, runs north to south the length of Australia, a mind-boggling distribution of football players of all ages and everywhere around the state, I should imagine, and delivering the new national curriculum over a wide area, developing all players in cities, towns and regional areas. Warren was coach of the Western Australia under 13 boys team at the inaugural Australian Nationals. It was a sparkling young team that made everyone sit up and take notice. Warren raised the bar for junior development in a most emphatic and commendable fashion. Let's hear how he does his job, his approach to developing the talented player, and his general views on the progress of young players as they go through their football experience. This interview is long overdue. Welcome, Warren.
Good evening. Good morning.
Good morning will do, Warren. Could be any time of the day or night when they hear this interview. What is the High Performance Officer's job in WA?
The High Performance Officer's role, main role, is to look after the actual program, starting from the academy program, the actual state programs as well, in the lead up to each team going away to the Nationals throughout all age groups state, and then the NTC program as well, which is a National Training Centre program for scholarship holders here in Western Australia.
Who provides those scholarships?
We receive, obviously, a grant from the FFA, Department of Sport and Recreation here in Western Australia, and obviously there's a component that we put in ourselves as well for those scholarships.
How many scholarships do you issue?
Well, we generally have, at the moment, there's 25 full scholarship holders, and then we also offer associate scholarship holders as well the chance to be part of the National Training Centre.
What is the National Training Centre in WA?
Basically, the National Training Centre is a program that is set up. It's a full-time program for those full scholarship holders, by which that they train on a full-time basis with Kenny Lowe, who is the head coach, and Andrew Ord, the assistant coach, play in the Reserve State League on a Wednesday evening.
As a team?
As a team, that's correct.
Under whose auspices is the National Training Centre run? Is it a state concern, or is it Football West subset?
The main purpose of the National Training Centre is obviously to prepare players technically and tactically to get them ready for international representation.
But it is a Football West entity, isn't it?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. And the reason I say that is because, of course, we have Capital Football here, but we also have ACTAS, which is the ACT...
Sure.
Academy of Sport. Now, do you have something similar to ACTAS in WA?
Probably the closest you'll get to it is the actual National Training Centre setup that we have here.
Right. Okay. Well, that's an important distinction for the listener to comprehend.
Sure.
In terms of the differences in structures. Now, it's a massive state. How do you encourage community development as the high performance manager?
With great difficulty. In all honesty,
yes.
Obviously we are based in the metro area. The majority of the players that are registered with us are from that metro area, but obviously we also have our regions as well. And we have coaches who go out to those regions to service those areas as well. We also have tried with some degree of success to set up academies as well in both the northern regions and also the southern regions as well.
Has that been successful?
It has, not without its teething problems. An inaugural year for those academies. So it actually started, both the northern and the southern academies started last October. They will run as a 46-week program.
I suppose it logically follows with a state that size and footballing pockets and populations all over the place, and not just sitting in Perth, there really is no other solution but to distribute your training.
Absolutely, yeah, that is correct. I mean, especially with the northern and the southern in the region, and what we look to do is we actually have a full-time development officer down there to oversee the program. And then what we do is we'll send metro coaches once a month who will work with each of the age groups over three nights, Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday, to guide not only the players but the coaches as well in terms of what we're actually delivering here in the metro area.
You've got your own means of quality control.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to do it unless you do, isn't it?
It is. It's very difficult.
How do you get the best together? Of all of your footballers, so maybe 2-3% drop into some sort of high-performance program. How do you gather together the best from everywhere?
What we look to do is, obviously, we'll run a set of trials for each program every year. Generally what will happen is it will be an open trial. We can have anywhere up to 150 to 200 kids that will actually turn up for those trials. So So obviously they'll be staggered over the age groups, and obviously the times as well will be staggered. Generally what will happen is there'll be two open trials. After the first two trials, we'll then make a cut, and then moving forward, what we'll look to do is have a second set of trials as well. And again, on the third trial, there will be a cut, and on the fourth trial, there will be a cut as well. We actually establish the actual teams that we're looking for each age group and the numbers, sorry.
Right. And you do this in each of the areas that you've distributed this talent identification and development process to?
That is correct, yes.
Well, that's a lot of work.
It is indeed.
How long does it take you to resolve this sort of selection process?
So the main one, the first set of trials will obviously be in the metro area.
Mm.
And then we'll actually go out to the northern and the southern regions, and we'll run exactly the same trial process for those regional areas as well.
Well, you're obviously doing your best not to let any of the talent slip the cracks.
Absolutely. Where we do try our best, obviously there are times where we do miss individuals for whatever reason. And obviously it is also very difficult when you do set up trials that there are going to be times where players and parents alike can't make certain sessions. When we actually select the teams, what we look to do is we will have time slot by which we will offer any players that aren't able to make it for whatever reason, injured, holidays, etc., etc., we will invite them in over a three-week period at the beginning of the academy program to analyse them then and to see whether they attain the level we're actually looking for.
How flexible can you be in this process? Thinking specifically at this issue of the age-relevant effect, so you get a young boy or girl, includes a growth spurt or suddenly whatever clicks, and they're producing rattling good form. Do you have scouts out to look at those players and perhaps invite them into the program? Is there enough flexibility to do that?
Yeah, there are indeed. Obviously, we will put coaches in charge of a specific age group for the full year.
Yep.
And that coach's responsibility is to look after that team for the full 4 term. With the academies, we tend, just quite simply because of the time constraints that we have, very, very difficult for coaches to get out and see players for the academies, especially when it comes to, obviously, state and the National Training Centre. The coaches that are in charge of those teams, both the head coach and the assistant coach, as often as possible will actually get out, even after the selection, get out and try to watch as many games as they can just to see if indeed they have actually missed anyone. It is often the case by which somebody may not have been aware of the trials, might just be out there just playing on a regular basis but knows nothing about state representation.
Yes, often happens.
Yeah, so we do encourage and the coaches are fantastic in that regard to actually getting out there and seeing if indeed there is some talent that has been missed.
So essentially your system, if I've got this right, is you hold open trials, find a group at age that go into your National Training Centre program.
Yep.
And you would then refine that into playing squads when you're coming up for Western Australia representative teams.
That's correct.
Would that be right? Yeah.
What we look to do is with the academies, obviously they'll be invited in for a full year's program.
Yeah.
So it'll be over 4 terms. Academy is separate to the National Training Centre.
Okay, perhaps you could just explain that.
The academy setup will be as it stands this year. Obviously we're just coming towards it.
Yeah.
We're into the final term now. We'll be under 9s, 10s, 11s and 12s.
Yep.
Okay, and then from there, you'll have your state team, under 13 boys and under 14 girls, as it was this year.
Yep.
Under 15 girls and under 17 girls.
Yep.
And then under 14 boys and under 15 boys.
Yep.
That would be your state setup. So the academy boys and girls will come in for a full year, over 4 terms.
Yep.
When it comes to state representation,
yep,
we will, again, same process as far as the trial process itself.
Yeah.
But it will be generally around about 3 to 4 months before the actual tournament that will actually run those open trials for the state. National Training Centre is from 15, 16 and 17 years. And again, the selection process will be, once selected, they will be in for the full year. At the end of the year, they'll be reviewed.
Yep.
And then obviously we'll hold open trials again.
Well, that's a lot of work.
It is indeed.
My goodness. And obviously at each age group, whether it's the National Training Centre or the Academy, you're keeping a pretty close eye on the development of each player.
Absolutely, yep.
And that's how you're doing it at the moment. Must be working, because, boy, you seem to be producing some real good footballers. We now have this new national curriculum from the FFA. It's fair to say, I think, Warren, it's really formalised things in a fashion that we've never seen before.
Sure.
What's your view on this new national curriculum?
I think for me, the great thing about the new national curriculum, what they're looking to do is follow suit regardless of state, age group or gender. They want to keep everything the same. So that's the massive advantage to the new national curriculum. Obviously, they've decided to go with a 1-4-3-3 formation.
Yeah, as one wag said to me the other day, couldn't we just call it 5-3-3? new maths, mate.
That's it, yeah. But that's what they've decided. Now, there may be people out there that disagree with that formation, but I think it's very important. If it's coming from the top of the ladder, and they've made that decision, and these are very, very well-travelled coaches who've done a lot of research in many different countries. It comes from the top. I firmly believe that that's what we have to follow.
Yes, indeed. You would say its great strength is that it corrals the whole development process around the nation and heads it in one direction.
It certainly does, yes.
Can you see any weaknesses in this? Just at the moment, it's a work in progress.
I believe, yeah, of course it's a work in progress. I think the actual implementation of the national curriculum is going to take a while because it is such a massive job. And obviously with Australia being such a massive country as well, to be able to service all those areas and get the information out and look to streamline it the way they want to is a massive task in itself. I also feel, unfortunately, it's always going to be the dollars issue as well in terms of being able to get coaches in, being able to ensure that the finance is there for the coaches to be able to go out and to be able to do their jobs properly. So I think the teething problems at the moment will mainly be not the actual content of the curriculum itself, but will be more financial from my own point of view.
Resource-based.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, indeed, you've touched on a very sensitive issue here in the ACT. The listener that's following the debate, which is pretty hot at the moment here, about what was an academy and is proposed to be the new high-performance program, which I have to say looks a terrific program in concept and outline and the detail available. Clearly, the point to struggle on is, at our end, is the availability of trained coaches.
Yep.
What do you do? Do you stand and wait, or do you get on with trying to fix it?
There's no point trying to stand and wait. I think the best you can, you have to move forward, and we have to try and get more quality coaches through the system. Until we start to get those quality coaches through, you're not going to get the quality players, unfortunately.
Well, that just has to be the answer. And the truth of it is, good quality coaches were the answer no matter what system you're using.
Absolutely.
It's just interesting how the debate unfolds, because certainly it looks like through our little part of the world here that it's taken some people out of their comfort zone.
Sure.
Change does, of course, I suppose.
Absolutely.
The sense I get is it's no different where you are over the other side of the continent.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, I take comfort in that, Warren.
As we all do,
yes.
As we all do.
Yes. Now, does this new national curriculum sit well with where football in Western Australia has been going in recent years?
But I believe it's been fairly easy transition for ourselves in terms of the content of the new national curriculum. Almost have been doing that anyway. Coaching has changed. It's completely changed from 10, 12 years ago. We're looking now for new age coaches and looking to adopt those new age methods as well.
Oh, well, let's just dwell on this a little bit, because I think you're absolutely right. Any coach that isn't a student, an ongoing student of the game, is really doing themselves and the people they coach a disservice.
Absolutely, absolutely.
That's an excellent point that you make. Here in the ACT, through our own processes, implemented small-sided games very early in the piece. So a lot of this sits well with the fabric in the ACT. Now, looking at the quality of your players, at the under-13 level, you must have been heading down a pretty similar path to where this curriculum has gone.
Yeah, sure. The small-sided football has definitely been fantastic. It's only been implemented, and Anne Gawley, who's actually over here in Western Australia, works for the FFA, has done a tremendous amount of work enforcing the small-sided football. But even before the small-sided football came in, we had the development officer, Mark Lee, that was here, that was always under the impression and believed firmly that 4v4s, conditioned 4v4s, was the way forward. So again, even though the small-sided football has come in, and like I say, Anne Gawley has done a tremendous job in enforcing that, it's something that has actually been happening, especially within our development model, within Football West, that's been going on for a while. But the great thing now is, and with the work that has been done by Anne, is that it's now going out into the schools, it's going out into the clubs, and the message is being sent further.
Mm.
And with that message being sent further, hopefully, with any luck, you would hope to get more quality through again.
Yes, and of course, just to remind the listener, well, we've been able to embrace the ACT pretty quickly here, because we're only a small area by comparison. This must be a Herculean task at your end.
It certainly is. It certainly is. And it's been a task that has been very, very difficult for Anne, obviously with the distances and how far she has to travel and the time she actually spends away from her home and her family.
Yeah.
But again, with the size of the state that we're in, it's something that we have to do. So unfortunately, it's just been a matter of grinning and bearing it. But once we actually get out there, we're then able to put people in place, and once the message is across and those people in those areas are fully on board, then it should become a lot easier.
I hope at this point that the listener is getting the sense that in terms of direction and philosophy, we here in the ACT have a lot in common with what's been happening in Western Australia. And that's an interesting point of reflection. Now, could I just take you forward? The curriculum itself talks, of course, of the talented stream and the community development stream. Now, if we can just drill down into the talented player stream.
Sure.
How is Western Australia approaching the development of talented players? Now, let's perhaps divide this into a couple of bits. Let's look at, say, 9 to 13. How are you tackling that one?
Within the metro region, again, going back through our selection process, we try to select four teams for each age group.
Mm.
One will be north of the river, one will be south of the river, east and west as well.
Yeah.
We will touch base with those during the season time. We will touch base with those once a week. They will get one best practice session a week with the coach that obviously is in charge of that age group. And then out of season, we'll look to go to twice a week as well. With the northern and the southern regions, they look to follow exactly the same model as well.
So in season, you're giving one contact a week?
That's correct.
And out of season, you're giving two contacts a week?
That's correct.
In season, these young players play for their club and do and
sure.
have further contacts with training?
Sure.
So you're not playing separate teams, you're sending them back to the clubs in season,
that's
but
right,
supporting their development whilst they're with club.
That's correct.
Yeah, it's a neat system. So if I just move forward, let's just look at the 14 to 18 age group. If you want to divide it down, please do so. When we move into that age group, we are, of course, into a different sphere of activity and development, aren't we?
That's correct, yes.
How do you tackle that one?
Obviously, that's where the National Training Centre really comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
With the 14-year-olds, obviously, they're looking to go into 15 state and be represented at 15 state level,
yes,
as the nationals. With the full scholarship holders within the NTC, like I say, what we look to do is we also offer associate scholarship holders.
Yes.
Now, some of these scholarship holders may indeed be 14 as well, and we have, in fact, have three or four players who are only of the age of 14 who are associate scholarship holders. So what generally happens with those associate scholars, they will actually come to us and they'll actually train within the NTC program as and when they can.
Mm.
Obviously, trying it as often as possible to avoid any conflict with their actual club training as well. With the NTC, obviously, they're training on a full-time basis and then playing in that state reserve league.
Again, just refresh us on those age groups at the NTC.
It'll be from 14s to 17s.
14 to 17s as a block?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then after that, it's what?
Then we move into the National Youth League.
Yeah.
So their next step, obviously, from being identified as a National Training Centre player, would then hopefully be given the opportunity to then go and play in the National Youth League as part of the Perth Glory youth team.
Ah, so this is where your Western Australian A-League team, the one at the moment,
sure,
fits into your development process, is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, of course there's much debate about that if Canberra get an A-League team,
sure,
then very similar expectations are hoped for in the ACT.
Sure.
What's the flow through from your national training centre, that 14 to 17 age group, to the A-League team youth development? Is that an academy process that the A-League team use, or is it we're just talking about their straight youth team?
There is definitely a firm pathway from the NCC to the Perth Glory youth team.
Yep.
But there is no direct link, so to speak.
Right.
So obviously Perth Glory is completely separate from the Football West and the National Training Centre.
Yep.
But the natural pathway is obviously from the National Training Centre to then go into the Perth Glory U team, or to be identified obviously for the Australian Institute of Sport team.
Now, what's the flow-through rate from your National Training Centre process to the Perth Glory youth team?
We've had fantastic results, and that's not just going into the youth team, but I know that there was definitely two boys also selected for the AIS as well.
Yes.
Who are actually playing at that. Lowe is actually the head coach for the NTC.
Yep.
Also the assistant coach of the first team at Glory as well. He's done a fantastic job with the NTC, not just in getting players into the actual youth league, but also getting players recognised, play for the Joeys as well.
So because he's sort of dual-hatted, if I can put it that way,
he's
getting a real good look at whatever you've got in your process.
Absolutely.
Yes, well, you can't ask for more than that.
And he will work, obviously, very closely and touch base on many, many occasions and as often as he can with Gareth Nay, the head coach of the Perth Glory youth team as well.
Warren, that's a very collaborative pathway.
It is indeed.
Might be useful just to remind the listener, when we're talking about the young players that move forward, really the pencil is sharpening to a very fine point if they emerge out of your National Training Centre process and get a gig at the youth team.
Sure.
Or the AIS.
Yeah.
I mean, the numbers are not massive, but that shouldn't really be surprising, should it?
No, it's not surprising at all. But like we mentioned earlier on, there are players that develop at different times. The problem we find at the moment is if they are finished their scholarship from the NCC and they're not quite ready to step up to the next level in the National Youth League, unfortunately there's nowhere for them to go. And that's where we're having problems at the moment, because all that happens is they go back, they take a backward step, and they fall back into clubland again.
Yeah.
And obviously, with clubland being the way that it is, there's a lot of pressure on the head coaches of the state league clubs to win games.
Yeah.
And so these players that do go back into their clubs either play in the reserves or they will sit on the bench for the first team, but they're not getting that playing time that they would get if they were playing in the NCC program.
Well, they're not sitting inside a development model, are they?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting, because we have the same problem here at the ACT, and, of course, it's exacerbated by the fact that we have absolutely no A-League team.
Yeah.
And, of course, there is the same concern. If players emerge from, let us say, at our end, they emerge from ACTAS, and then they complete that program, and they hit the age limitation. They don't go to an A-League youth team,
And
they don't get picked up by the AIS. They too simply return to club. With the greatest respect, it's no surprise here that the Premier League here isn't a development process either.
That's right.
So there's this no man's land in football.
Sure. Yeah.
And interestingly enough, we've had one club here set up a program this year that has mirrored the ACTAS training regime, and with some AIS input, and the coach took an initiative, created this program, got it sponsored, and then found all the sort of, if you like, the players who had jumped out of ACTAS and not gone anywhere, and got them into a team playing in the Premier League, and they've done quite nicely. So, and he's managed to build bridges to A-League teams and youth teams and so on. So it can be done. The connection can be manufactured. Capital Football, in its new proposals, is looking to create an under-17 and under-20 squad so that they have a range of contact for developmental purposes. That's another way of doing it too.
Sure, yeah.
But it's all resource-intensive, of course.
Exactly. I mean, ideally, we would look to or try... would like to try to do the same thing by having a three-tier structure within our NCC model, by which obviously you have an under-18s team, you have a reserve team, and you have a first team.
Yeah.
But again, having the actual resources to be able to do that and the finances to be able to serve it properly proves to be very, very difficult.
Now, if I can just range Joff in a slightly different direction with your development of talented players, futsal, what part does futsal play, if any, in your process?
We believe futsal is a massive developmental tool, and it is something that we definitely enforce within our academy structure.
Well, that's interesting, yeah.
Like I said to you, when the players are selected, they will do 4 terms with us, two of which will be indoor and two of which will be outdoor.
Is that right?
The indoor, obviously, sessions will be futsal sessions.
Yeah.
We tend not to go follow along the lines of the futsal rules, because obviously these players, as far as developing them, we're developing them as outdoor players.
As footballers, yeah.
Yes, to ultimately play 11v11 of football. So, but what we think futsal is able to do, using the hard courts, using the heavier ball, using certain techniques that you actually use in futsal, is absolutely massive to the actual development of individual players. So all of the kids that are involved or were involved with the under-13s national, the state team at the Nationals in April, just gone, they all have been brought up in that futsal environment, using the smaller, heavier ball, encouraging ball familiarity, close control, and also to have that no fear of failure as well.
Sure.
So moving forward for ourselves, we too will actually no longer be calling them academies as such, but it will all fall under the high performance program. So it'll be high performance squads from under 9 all the way through to under 12s.
Yeah.
And then obviously high performance programs in preparation for the state teams, as we mentioned earlier on.
Yes.
So we'll look to have trials in October, selecting for the high performance programs from 9 till 12, and also for the under 13s boys and under 13s girls, as it will be
as
next
it will
year
be, yes,
for the state.
Well, it's all happening in Western Australia.
It certainly is.
I don't know how you do it, but I do know you produce good young players. Warren, many thanks for your time. You've been most generous. I hope the listeners got a fair bit out of this and perhaps realise that things aren't so different in the AC.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Well, that's Warren Grieve, and I hope you enjoyed that interview. Things that are going on in the ACT are not a whole lot different to things going on in Western Australia, completely the other side of the continent. My feeling is that the CEO and technical director at Capital Football might have shot their arrows right on the target with a high-performance program, so as I'm running for the near post, I intend to get there first. See you later.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first.
You're listening to People Powered Radio 2XX.
He oído decir que hay una deducción suplementaria del 50% para empresas. ¿Es cierto?
Sí, hay una deducción suplementaria del 50% sobre activos elegibles para las empresas con una facturación anual inferior a $2 millones.
¿Y si mi facturación fuera superior a los $2 millones?
Las empresas más grandes reciben una deducción suplementaria del 10% o del 30%.
Suena bien. ¿Dónde puedo conseguir más información?
Consulte a su consejero tributario o vaya a australia.gov.au y busque